Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Exodus and Return, The Longing for Ethiopia. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Zion was never just a place. It was a promise. A pulse, a memory so deep that even those who had never touched the soil of Ethiopia could feel it in their bones. To the Rastaman, Ethiopia was not just Africa, it was home, the land of the Lion of Judah, the throne of the Almighty, the spiritual motherland from which the Black diaspora had been severed through slavery, exile, and colonization. But the longing remained. From the earliest stirrings of Rastafari, Ethiopia stood at the center of the dream, not as fantasy, but as prophecy. When Haile Selassie was crowned in 1930, it ignited more than reverence. It awakened a yearning. The faithful did not just praise his imperial majesty. They longed to walk the very land he ruled, to smell its earth, to touch its rivers, to kneel in the real Zion. This yearning became doctrine. Rastas began chanting, "Repatriation is a must." Ethiopia was not a destination. It was destiny. And then, destiny extended an invitation. In 1948, Haile Selassie granted land to members of the African diaspora in Shashamane, a quiet town in southern Ethiopia. A gift, a call home. The earth was fertile, the gesture divine. It was a moment unlike any in modern history. A king giving back what had been stolen centuries ago. Slowly, the faithful began their exodus. From Jamaica, from the UK, from America, Rastas sold what little they had, boarded ships and planes, left Babylon behind to build Zion on Ethiopian soil. They arrived with fire in their hearts and scripture on their tongues. But the journey home was not as they imagined. Shashamane was not paved in gold. The soil was rich, but the infrastructure was poor. The local Ethiopian population, while welcoming in spirit, struggled to understand the dreadlocked pilgrims who spoke patois, burned herb, and praised the emperor as divine. And after the 1974 coup that deposed Haile Selassie, the dream trembled. The new regime stripped land, spread propaganda, and viewed Rastas with suspicion. Still, they stayed. Through hardship, drought, political upheaval, they remained rooted in faith. Farming, teaching, building, praying. They raised children born in Zion, but raised on roots. The community became a paradox: Jamaican by heritage, Ethiopian by soil. Neither fully accepted, yet divinely anchored. Back in Jamaica, the dream of repatriation remained strong. Not everyone could go. Not everyone wanted to. But the longing itself became holy. The idea that Africa was ours, not by passport, but by bloodline, continued to shape Rasta theology and identity. And for those who made the pilgrimage, something shifted. To see the land, to breathe it, to walk where Solomon's blood once flowed. It wasn't just a homecoming. It was a resurrection. A reminder that the chains had been broken not just in body, but in spirit. Even now, the Shashamane community stands as living testimony of prophecy, of sacrifice, of vision made flesh. It reminds us that Rastafari was never about escape. It was about return. Return to dignity. Return to roots. Return to the divine design stolen, but not erased. Because sometimes the greatest revolution is simply going home.